Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Well, if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea, and we find ourselves into chapter number 11. The book of Hosea, chapter number 11. We're now on the downhill slide. Just a few more chapters left. This is only 14 chapters of this book. And we are finishing our study of Hosea very quickly, as we are overviewing and looking for these last couple chapters quickly. We'll find our way to Hosea chapter number 11. Hosea chapter number 11. And notice, if you don't mind, as we find our way, Hosea 11. And notice with me in verse number 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called out my son out of Egypt. As they called him, so they went from them, and they sacrificed unto Balaam, and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. And I drew them with cords of a man, and with bands of love, and I was to them as they take off the yoke in their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. And he shall not return unto the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refuse to return. And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches, and devour them because of their own counsels. And my people are bent to backsliding from me, and though they have called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? And how shall I deliver thee, Israel? And how shall I make thee as Adamah? And how shall I set thee as Zebulun? Mine heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger, and I will not return to destroy Ephraim. For I am God, and not a man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion, and he shall roar. Then the children shall tremble from the west. And they shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. And I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. Ephraim compasseth me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet ruleth with God, and is faithful with the saints. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Hosea in chapter number 11? Hosea chapter 11, and notice with me in verse 1 where it says that I loved him. This is God speaking, and he's speaking of Israel. I loved him. With this, we're going to see the heart of God. Remember that the whole purpose of the book of Hosea is to give a visual understanding of God's love. We see that with the couple of Hosea and Gomer and the kids. We can see that Hosea loved his family and he loved his wife. And because it's hard to understand something we cannot see, and we cannot see God, God is using Hosea as his proxy, that we could understand how much God loves us. And as God is going through the book of Hosea, he is pronouncing judgment upon Israel, but the whole time he's saying, I love you, I just want you to come back. I love you, I love you, I love you. And we see the tears and the brokenheartedness of God towards a people that he loves, who yet continues to walk away. I love him. We see this tenderness and we could see this great heart of God. Let's explore more as we see the book of Hosea. Notice, first of all, the child of God's love. The child of God's love. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him. Now, this isn't emphasizing or showing that God only loved Israel when Israel was a child, but it's rather giving the idea of the type of love that a parent has towards a child. That when you have that cute little child and the innocence and potential, you love that kid. I love this kid. In fact, notice, if you don't mind, as it draws down a little bit more, where it speaks about verse number 3, and I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms. This taking them by the arms is the same idea that when you take that little child and he's first learning to walk, and he has his little fingers wrapped around yours, and you take a little step, and he takes the step, and you've taken him by the arms, and you're helping him out. It's that same idea that we have one parent who has the kid, and the other parent's like, come to me, and the kid takes the step going towards, and the parents grab him in the arm, and you love those moments. I love this child, watching him take his steps, looking at his, I loved him. God says, I loved him. When he was a child, I loved him. You know, when they're at that age, they're easy to love. They're easy to love. He says, I loved him. Unfortunately, Israel grew up. And when it grew up, he didn't want to be close to God. He didn't want to obey. And Israel broke God's heart. He still loved him. But God says, I still love him like I did back then. When you were a child and easy to love, I loved you and I haven't stopped loving you, but I'm brokenhearted over you. Notice again, verse 1. Now, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. By the way, this is a reference of the Lord Jesus Christ in a prophecy that was made and fulfilled in Matthew chapter number 2, where Jesus and Mary and Joseph had fled into Egypt. And then they came from Egypt back into the promised land. This is that prophecy here. That I called him out of Egypt. It's specifically giving a further, more complete dual prophecy that Jesus is going to come out of Egypt, and he was. But we know historically that the children of Israel were in bondage in Israel, or in Egypt, and God called them out. When God called them out, they were grateful. There was a lot of potential. He had him cross the Red Sea. He was going to bring them to Mount Sinai. They were going to be together. There was a lot of potential. I loved him. I had all these dreams and all these hopes for my child here. Well, they quickly broke his heart. But he said, I called him. I had purpose. I my child. And as they called him, so they went from him. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burnt incense into graven images. Here, they turned against God. And God's brokenhearted because he can see where they're going. He could see the danger they're in. It's like a child who starts running out in the street, and you can see the danger that they're in, and you're brokenhearted even if they don't have the discernment to see it. They don't realize how much of a danger they're in by the crowd, by the things, as they're starting to walk that path. And as a parent, you're trying to say, don't walk that away. Don't go that away. Don't go that away. But they're determined to go that away anyways. And there's a brokenheartedness. I loved him, God is saying. I loved him. In fact, notice, if you don't mind, the personal pronoun I. We could see in verse 1, and when Israel was a child, then I loved him. Verse 3, I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their hands, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with the cords of a man and the bounds of love, and I was to them as they were to take off the yoke of the jaws, and I laid meat unto them. These eyes here, this is God speaking. His personal pronoun is speaking of God. I love them. I did these things. I cared for them. I wanted the best for them. I wanted them. Verse 3, and I taught Ephraim to go, taking them by the arms. But they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with the cords of a man and bounds of love, and I was to take them as they were to take the yoke off the loins, and I laid meat unto them. Remember, we do see this inside of the story of Hosea and his wife. Remember that Hosea and Gomer, they had three children. The first one, you could tell, took after dad. The girl, the middle one, yeah, that takes after her mother. But the third one, you could definitely tell, did not take after Hosea at all, that this was someone else's child. But yet, he still adopted this child as his own and took care of him. We could see Gomer as she took off and now is living with other men. And he's going up and down the streets calling her name. Gomer! Gomer! Seeking her out, even though she was with someone else. When he found out that she was lacking and that she didn't have basic supplies, he supplied for her even though she was with someone else because he loved her. God is saying, that's what I've done here. Israel's turned their back on me and I still supplied. Even though they worshiped other gods, I still took care of them. I still love them. They've broken my heart, but I've loved them. One of the things that we have a hard time is understanding the love of God. By the way, next year, that's our big theme, understanding the love of God. God loves us more than we know. And he proves it all the time. And we're so ignorant of God's love that he shows towards us all the time. I loved them. I loved them. Which brings us to another thing, the conflict of God's love. The conflict of God's love. Notice in verse number 5. He shall not return unto the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refused to return. God as a father was able to know the direction of the children's lives. He knew where they were headed, and he knew how the cruel Assyrians would rule over them. So notice, God says, I know that they're not going to go back to Egypt. But instead of turning to me, they're going to the Assyrians. They think the Assyrians are their friends, but I know they're not. I know they're not. It's almost like a parent looking at their kid and starting to see the crowd they're hanging out with and say, they're not your friends. They're not looking out for you. They're going to hurt you. No, they're not. You just don't understand. No, you don't understand. They are going to hurt you. Don't be around them. You know what? I can make my own decisions. No. God loved them and can see where they're headed and see that they are blinded and they wouldn't listen. And God's so brokenhearted, and he could see where they're going and could see the cruelty of the Assyrians. Again, we're going to see that as we go through the book of Isaiah, that Hosea and Isaiah are at the same time dealing with the same subject of Israel. Dealing with the same subject of them turning to Assyria, dealing with the idea that Assyria is not going to help them. But they continue to go to Assyria saying they have the supplies. They're big enough. They're close enough. They can give me what I need. And they don't realize that they're going to someone that is going to hurt them, that is going to abuse them, that is going to be cruel to them. It's almost like watching a daughter going to someone you know is going to abuse them. And then in the middle of the abuse, I'm fine. I still love him. It's great. No. No. I loved him. God says, I loved him and I didn't stop loving them. I'm watching them ruin their lives. And I love them. I still love them. I haven't stopped loving them. And I could see the mistake they're making with their life, and I could see the ruin. Verse number 6, it says, "And the sword shall abide on his cities and shall consume his branches and devour them because of their own counsels." They made their own decision, and they have consequences for their decision. They thought this was best to go be with Assyria, and it was not what was best. And there's going to be consequences. And it wasn't God's fault, by the way. It was their fault for their own consequences, their own actions. This is what they brought upon themselves. God didn't want this for them. You know, as we look back through history, God never wanted the Assyrians to destroy Israel. He did not want the Babylonians to destroy Israel. He did not want Jerusalem destroyed in 70 AD under the Romans. None of that is what he wanted. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he came and dealt with the Jewish people at that time, he gave them an honest offer to be their legitimate king right then and right then. And they rejected it. They brought the consequences on themselves. It wasn't because mom and dad were being mean. It wasn't because of someone else. This is their own consequences of their actions. Verse number 7, "And my people are bent to backsliding from me." That's a powerful phrase. They're bent. They're programmed. They're just, that's their default, is to backslide from them. If we could be honest, that's our default too. We have to constantly work at being close to God. In the Christian life, there's only two directions. You're either getting closer to God or you're sliding back. There is no coast. There is no neutral. If you are not advancing forward, you're sliding back. And it is a never-ending pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all bent to backsliding. And if you ever need proof, miss your Bible reading one day. We slide back very quick. It's very easy to go back into old thinking habits. It is very easy to go back into old thought patterns, old behavior patterns. It's very easy to get back into those things. The things that you thought you had victory over will now pop back up when you start sliding back from God. We're bent that away, the Bible says. They are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none of them will exalt him. Notice, they said, "Oh yeah, God's still God," but they won't return to him. They're able to say, "Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus," but they won't go to him. They won't return to him. Verse 8, "How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? And how shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Adamah?" Now, you may not be familiar with Adamah. Notice there's another name. "And how shall I turn thee to Zeb-ol-im? My heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindling together." What are these two cities? Well, remember that when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah were not the only cities there. There were seven cities of the plain. These were two of them. These were destroyed in that same fire and brimstone that rained down that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And so God is looking down and says, "This is what you're going to turn to. I'm a righteous, holy God. This is what you deserve now because of your actions and your behavior. I don't want to. I love you. But this is where you're headed. This is what you deserve. You deserve fire and brimstone. You deserve destruction for your actions. But I love you." Can you see the conflict of God? He loves people. But because of their own actions, they deserve fire and brimstone. God is conflicted. "This is what you deserve. This is what has to happen because of my righteousness, because of what, this is what's right. But I love you. How can I see this happen to you? You deserve this, but I love you." See the conflict of God's love? He loved them. which then brings us to one more thing, the conclusion of God's love. The conclusion of God's love. Notice with me in verse 9. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee. I will not enter into the city. What happens now is that this changes. In all of the minor prophets, what happens is that towards the end, God always gives them hope. He talks about the destruction, talks about what they deserve, talks about their, but then he always leaves them hope. The hope of the millennial kingdom, the hope that God is going to do something. And God has a plan. He says, you deserve hell. You deserve destruction from your own counsels, your own decisions. I didn't want you to go that way. I'm brokenhearted, but this is what you deserve. But I'm God, I love you. So, I will not return and bring the fiercest of my anger upon you. I'm going to come up with a different way. I'm not like you, I'm not stuck. I'm a holy God. I can satisfy my anger and love you and not destroy you. How do you do this and still be just? Because all sin requires a payment. All sin must be paid for. Jesus said, the Holy One among you. I am going to robe myself in flesh. I'm going to step back away from the judgment bench and come down among you. And I am going to pay that price on your behalf. So you don't have to. Because I love you. I'm conflicted because sin needs to be paid for. But I love you. How am I going to take care of this conflict? I'm going to pay it myself. I'm going to take it upon myself to pay this punishment because I love you. Because I love you. What a great God that we have. Understanding God's love is something that's a lifelong study. You could spend your entire life trying to understand the love of God and still never come to the completion of it. It is an in-depth study that the more that you study, the more that we respond to God's love, that he loved me so much, I love him back. I loved him. What an amazing God that he loved us, that he chose to find a different way to take care of the sins that we deserve. That God would be totally righteous to allow us to die and go to an awful place called hell. He would be just. He would be righteous. He would be correct. He would be pure to do that. But he loved us. And he took care of that conflict by taking the punishment upon himself. Notice, if you don't mind, as we go together, verse 11 or verse 10. And they shall walk after the Lord, and he shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. And they shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, and a dove out of the land of Assyria. And I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. Ephraim compasseth me about with lies. The house of Israel with deceit. Yet Judah ruleth with God, and is faithful with the saints. Now again, this is setting up the millennial kingdom. This is future tense. But he says, they're going to rule with me. They're going to be with me. I reached out. I love them. There's going to come a point in time. It hasn't been yet, but a point in time where the Hebrew people, Israel, Judah, will accept God as their Messiah and accept his love towards them. And he will establish them in the millennial kingdom. That we get to rule and reign with Christ and help with that millennial kingdom. See, the wonderful thing is that God loved them, but he also loved the whole world. And that he provided that same salvation, not only for Israel and the Hebrew people, but he provided it for the rest of the world as well. And he loved us. What a great love that he had. Do you sense the brokenheartedness of God towards our sin? God hates our sin. And he could see what we deserve. And yet he never stopped loving us and did everything he could to make a way so we could be with him, that we could have fellowship with him, that we could have a close, intimate relationship with him, because he loved us. Let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you and your great love. Help us to strive to understand, to perceive, to learn more of it. Your wonderful love towards us. Help us to be amazed by it. And help us to have our lives changed by your great love and our understanding of it. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.